for a better us.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loright. Today we're going to open up the phone lines, take your phone calls, and talk about issues in the news. First, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday we opened up the phone lines. One of the questions I asked is after the president's confusing statements yesterday about needing voter ID to buy cereal, and also that some voters vote twice by going out to their car and changing their clothes, I asked listeners when President Trump's supporters would see that he frequently lies. And we got a call from a listener yesterday who defended the president and said that the U.S. is now the most respected country in the world. And that and other things brought these two responses yesterday.
And during the interview, a guy said that America is the most respected country in the world, respected more than ever before. And it just blew my mind because I think just the opposite is true. Our standing internationally is sadly has gone down because the president's a liar, and it's going to prejudice any future presidents because nobody's going to believe that we stand by our agreement.
This is John from Lutz. Say, when Trump is referring to this ID that you need to buy a box of cereal, I think what he's referring to is the lifetime supply card that he was given for Fruit Loops. Another thought is Trump wants this grocery ID card because he's a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Well, a federal judge today in Washington ordered the Trump administration to immediately return the White House press credentials of CNN reporter Jim Acosta. U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly, an appointee of President Trump, announced his decision following a hearing in Washington. The judge said Acosta's credentials would be returned immediately and reactivated to allow him access to the White House. CNN had asked the judge to force the White House to immediately hand back the credentials that give Acosta, CNN's chief White House correspondent, access to the White House complex for press briefings and other events. CNN asked for Acosta's credentials restored while a lawsuit over his credentials revocation goes forward. The judge granted CNN's request for a temporary restraining order. A lawsuit that CNN brought against the Trump administration over the issue now continues. Here's CNN's and Jim Acosta's attorney making the announcement this morning.
A great day for the First Amendment in journalism. We're very excited to have Mr. Acosta be able to go back and get his hard pass and report the news about the White House.
And here's CNN's Jim Acosta this morning.
I want to thank all of my colleagues in the press who supported us this week. And I want to thank the judge for the decision he made today. And let's go back to work.
We'll see what the White House does next. The White House has the possibility, certainly has the right to appeal that judge's decision. And we could talk about that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And we can talk about some other things, too. The recount goes on here in Florida. A Florida judge is rejecting a challenge to the rules that are going to be used in the hand recount in the state's contentious U.S. Senate race. In North Florida, U.S. Judge District Judge Mark Walker late yesterday ruled against Senator Bill Nelson and Democrats in another one of the lawsuits surrounding the recount. During the hand recount, elections officials look at just the ballots that weren't recorded by the voting machines. Under state law, voters must use only approved markings or their ballot is disqualified, and they can't simply cross out a mistaken vote, but must explain in writing why they crossed it out. The lawsuit contends that has a discriminatory effect on non-native English speakers and illiterate voters, but The judge found the rules were reasonable and constitutional. Florida counties must finish the hand recount by Sunday. We got this call from a woman who lives in Polk County, and she says something strange happened to her in Polk County. She's a Democrat. Listen to her story as she wanted to take part in observing the recount at the Polk County Supervisor of Elections office.
Hello, Rob. I'm calling, and if you want to call me back, you can try. I'm actually a Democratic observer for the in the Polk County recount this morning, and I kind of wanted to call you because it was it's been a really interesting start to the morning. We go in, we get all signed in. The Republican observers were signed in fairly easily. The Democratic observers were at the end, and they had one sheet to sign people in on. They had another one that did not have anybody's name in it. And so it took a while for us to get signed in. And then, for like about 10 minutes before everybody was signed in, maybe more, they started doing the count when only the Republican observers were in the room. Once everybody was in and at the table, they continued for about a half an hour or 45 minutes, and then they took a break. And then they told us that count was done. So I thought it was kind of strange, and I thought I'd share the information. Please don't say my name on the air.
Well, that was a woman who did leave her name and did leave her phone number with me, and I did get a text from her this morning saying that she is a Democratic poll watcher, and that's her story from this morning in Polk County. Now, I've not been able to get in touch with the Polk Supervisor of Elections. I'll try to do that. And we could talk about that, too. If you're a poll watcher, if you've participated in looking over the shoulders of people at the recount and you've seen anything, good, bad, or indifferent, and you want to relate your experience to us, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Well, something really strange happened the other day, or maybe not so strange. Michael Avenatti was accused of domestic abuse. Now, he's Stormy Daniels' attorney. He's also represented several other women who have claims against President Trump and other public figures. And he's also running, or at least he says he is, running for the Democratic nomination for president. Well, Michael Avenatti, the attorney, was arrested the other day, then freed on bond on a charge of domestic violence. Okay. So Avenatti's now out of jail. He's out of custody. And he was, I think it's fair to say that he was hounded. Maybe hounded is too strong a term, but the website TMZ, which is basically a gossip website, was following Avenatti around the streets of Los Angeles yesterday after Avenatti was released from jail. And they were trying to get a statement from him. And listen to this interview. And it seems to indicate that Avenatti thinks that he was set up on these domestic violence charges. Let's listen into what the TMZ reporter, camera guy, and Avenatti said to each other.
Hey, any thoughts? Stormy says she would drop you if these allegations are true.
I don't think Stormy's going to be dropping me anytime soon.
No? Can you clarify your Michael Wohl tweet, sir?
What do you mean, clarify?
I mean, did he have something to do with these allegations against you? Is it a political hit job?
You know, I'm looking forward to the truth coming out on this thing.
How long till we get the truth, Michael?
hopefully as soon as possible, because I'm looking forward to it.
Reviews standing by you. They say unless these allegations are found true, do you feel support from your community and your friends?
It's really been amazing over the last 24 hours. I've been very, very lucky. I've had a lot of people that have come out and supported me, and that support is well placed, because I'm going to be proven innocent, I'm going to be exonerated, and we're going to move forward.
Okay, yes, sir. Was it self-defense, sir?
Well, again, I'm not going to get into the details, but Jacob, if you're watching, I'm coming for you.
Okay, sir. And does that mean you will be subpoenaing him to testify for you in court, to be a witness?
If I was Jacob, I would not be sleeping well at night. Let me just say that.
Michael Avenatti, the attorney for Stormy Daniels, yesterday on the streets of Los Angeles, being followed by a reporter from TMZ, the gossip website. The Jacob he's referring to is Jacob Wohl, who is a pro-Trump conspiracy theorist. The backstory on this is that Avenatti, you heard him say, "I'm coming for you, Jacob Wohl. I would not be sleeping well tonight." Avenatti was arrested this week on suspicion of domestic violence in Los Angeles, and Avenatti is suggesting that this conspiracy theorist, Wohl, was behind the arrest. Avenatti tweeted this week, "First Mueller and now me," and he went on to tweet that when we are fully exonerated, "I'm coming for you, Jacob Wohl, a.k.a. Surefire." Well, Wohl is the founder of a private intelligence firm called Surefire Intelligence. And the firm yesterday tweeted a link to Avenatti's arrest and then declared Surefire Intelligence strikes again. Wohl was recently involved in an alleged scheme to accuse Special Counsel Robert Mueller of sexual assault. Evidence suggests that Wohl was attempting to pay women to accuse Mueller of sexual assault, and those allegations just seem to have collapsed just days after they were made. Now, Wohl's campaign against Mueller, it fell apart after the press conference because the alleged victim, never showed up. Now, Wohl right now is denying Avenatti's allegations. He wrote on Twitter yesterday, "Michael Avenatti seems to believe that I'm responsible for him raising his hand to a woman." And he wrote, "I am not. Will he release the pictures of his battered victim?" All right, so that's an interesting story, too. We could talk about it. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I don't know who's right there, but it is interesting that Wohl seemed to be behind the Mueller sexual abuse allegations that fell apart. But we'll see where this one goes. 813-239-9663. Of course, there's the recount going on here in Florida. We could talk about that. We could talk about what you've seen if you've taken part as an observer in one of the recounts. And there's a lot of other news yesterday, or there was a lot of news yesterday, President Trump making some interesting allegations about illegal voting. He said that many people change their clothes and go back and vote twice or multiple times after changing their clothes outside elections polling stations. Also saying that you need a voter ID to purchase cereal. All right. Lots going on. Let's take some phone calls. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Danny first. Danny, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to take two of those of the happenings that happened yesterday. First, I'll start with Avenatti. When I first heard the story, I was disappointed. But then when I found out it was Surefire Intelligence and that they tried to set up Mueller, now I really, really have my doubts, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll tell you what, Stormy Daniels has said that if he is guilty, that she's going to seek a different representation. She's going to drop him as a lawyer. Alyssa Milano, unfortunately, already jumped the gun without even knowing, which kind of like, surprised me, said that she's disavowing him. So, he's been saying that Trump should be indicted. He's been the number one guy to go after Trump, one of the number one guys to go after Trump for a while in the media. The second is, of course, Jim Acosta. I just put on Mike Gallagher for like 5 seconds or 10 seconds. He was beside himself. He was saying, "Can you believe that? This is where we live nowadays. This is how we're living nowadays, where you can go into the White House press conference and you can mishandle," it's what he said, "you can mishandle a young intern which right there I would try to sue him for that, because he's a low life, as low as Trump, okay? And sit there and be rude. I asked you, Rob, how was he rude? He has never been rude. How was April Ryan rude? How was Amici rude? How was Abby Phillip rude? The one that was rude was Trump, Donald Trump. You know, this is the judge held it up because it's a basic freedom of the press, and that's why he won. And the only way a reporter can be banned in all these years is if they look or they intend to do physical harm to the president. And then on top of that, Trump has been beside himself yesterday, as you know, blasting Mueller because he is cornered. He's like a wounded animal ever since the midterms. And he's dangerous. He is more dangerous now than ever, according to Tony Schwartz and all these people who know him real well, and David K. Johnson and Tim O'Brien. He is really, really scary right now. It's a wounded animal. So, Rob, that's what I have to say.
Okay,
this
Danny.
Friday.
All right, Danny, you're all fired up. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Frank Knox is our phone producer today. We're going to talk about all these items in the news, and if you've got a different take than Danny does, or if you've got the same take, you can call us up and kind of get it off your chest. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on WMNF. What are you interested in,
well,
in the news?
There's something in the news a little bit. They're talking about the guy that in Kentucky who shot those two people, but I want to go back to...
You're talking about 2 weeks ago? The shooting 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, this is older news, but yep. It's been on my mind, and you haven't had an open forum, so I hadn't been talking about it because I wanted to stay on topic usually. But I think back when the synagogue was shot, what was the typical Republican response? Was we need armed guards there? That'll solve the problem because they're soft targets. And then that same day, I believe somebody went into Tallahassee and shot a yoga studio, killed about six people, and pistol whipped somebody. And then...
Yeah, killed two people. Killed two people and injured several others.
What's that?
I said killed two people in Tallahassee.
Well, I think the Kentucky thing was the same day as the synagogue. The guy went to the church, couldn't get in, went to the Kroger store, which is basically a public, shot two people there. And then about a week after that, there was a shooting in Tallahassee at a yoga studio. But you say only two people were killed? I think there were six people killed there, and somebody was pistol whipped. But you can check that out.
I will then, check that out, yep.
And then, like, right after that, out in California, there was the nightclub shooting. So I'm thinking, well, if we go with the Republican theory that, you know, we need to arm these synagogues, well, doesn't that mean we need to arm, like, Kroger's or public stores because those are soft targets? And now we have to arm yoga studios because those are soft targets? And we have to arm all the bars because they're soft targets? And even in the bar out there, there was a police officer that went in there and he was killed. And then when there was another incident where there was a security guard who subdued the person who came in, tried to shoot some people, tried to shoot the bartender. The cops showed up, and he was killed. So, I mean, this concept that a good guy with a gun will stop a bad guy with a gun, I think is very suspect with all this information that you can look at that kind of proves that I don't think it's a good guy with a gun that'll stop it. Maybe we really do need some common sense gun regulations.
Well, John, I think that's absolutely right. I think too many people who have tendencies towards violence have guns. And that's the problem out there. And you're absolutely right. There have been several recent mass shootings where the site of the mass shooting was also where there were either police officers or security guards who were armed, and it wasn't enough to prevent the mass shooting. And I don't want to argue too much over death tolls and all that, but just to get the facts straight on Tallahassee, the incident happened the first week of this month. Two people were killed, four were wounded, and then the gunman shot himself. So that it was, it, you know, it was terrible, but it was two people who were killed. The victims were Nancy Van Vessem, who was 61 years old, and Maura Binkley, who was 21 years old. And the suspect, who was from Deltona, died of a possible self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to Tallahassee police. Let's take some more phone calls. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Bill's in Homosassa. Hi, Bill. You're on WMNF. What's on your mind today?
Damn.
I'm sorry. We missed the first thing you said.
Pardon?
We missed the very first thing you said.
I said, I feel beaten down.
Beaten down? Why?
Oh, man, this Scott Nelson race. But I think the fix has been in from the start on that deal. I really do. Because, you know, when he pulled out as whatever he was in the ruling of these elections and said he would no longer oversee or whatever, he knew. He knew right now, and they're not counting these votes, they're not counting those votes, and it's just, I mean, you know the scales of justice, how they work. I'm a Libra, and let's weigh this thing up with this kook we got for president from the guys, how many guys he got on the border down Texas or wherever they're at?
How many military personnel? I think the number is 5,000.
That's going to miss Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, maybe New Year's. For what?
It's interesting because there are refugees from Central America going to our border. They're heading to Tijuana right now.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch right now, but they're not encountering any U.S. military. You know, and if you see the pictures of these people, a lot of women with strollers and their babies in strollers. Some have gotten a bus up there, but obviously the U.S. military is not on the Tijuana border. There is a big border wall there. There's barbed wire and all that stuff. These folks aren't getting through. They're asking for asylum, but I think we only process about 100 people a week or some number like that. So,
it's the same. This has been going on for ever. I mean, that's just the way this country was built.
Yeah, you know, if you were a refugee from Europe for many years, you just came over. You didn't have to apply or anything. Most of the 1800s, all of the 1700s, you just came over. We began to institute laws against certain ethnic groups, like the Chinese Exclusion Act in the late 1800s. But if your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents came over, and nobody's parents came over in the 1800s, but if your grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents came over from Europe in the 1800s, by and large, they came here without applying for asylum or applying for entry. They just came over. They showed up. They were checked, and they were let in. And now we're saying America is different. The words on the Statue of Liberty don't apply. But to your first point, Bill, I think we need to count all the votes. And one thing I'm wondering about is that if you postmark your ballot, you mail it in, and it doesn't arrive at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, and you're a domestic mailer, your vote doesn't count if it arrives after 7 o'clock on Tuesday of Election Day. But if you're out of the country, or if you're in the military, and your vote arrives several days late, that person's vote will count. Why don't we treat both equally?
That's Tallahassee, I'd say.
It is Tallahassee law, yeah.
Yep, and that's exactly why I say Scott knows the fix was in. Because he can manipulate anything he chooses to do, and you know as well as I do with the governor. And all those dudes up there, judges and all in Tallahassee, he's been here for 8 years. I'm sure he's made a rapport with those guys that, you know, that you buy this little bottle of something or whatever. That Scott has made me mad from day one. He sold our airplane, Florida's airplane, to get money back, help everything. And now, I heard this right before he come out of there. He just bought a new one. Is that right?
I don't know. I haven't kept up with his airplane purchases.
The only reason I bring that up is you think that he flies around the state in his new jet for free, or do you think he charges like Trump does for his motels?
Well, that is a good question. Does he charge that to the state? I don't know. And I would think that the folks who are in the Capitol, who are reporters like Steve Busquet and others, will find out if he ultimately charged the state for the use of his airplane. I don't know.
So much going on. You don't know. We got migrants in cages the way I got it in tents. I mean, there's so much crap going on right now, it's hard to keep up. It makes you just feel like...
All right, Bill, I feel like the longer you're on, the more angry you get.
Yeah.
All right, Bill.
All right.
Sit down, have a cool one, and it'll be okay, because we've got each other. Now, here's somebody from the 352 area code, who has sent 10 emails in so far this morning. I'm just going to read one of them. And this person is anonymous, and they say, wrong, liar, stop spreading fake news. We need to count all the legal votes, not all the votes, because we already know Snipes had people filling out fraudulent ballots, writes this anonymous person. All right, anonymous, thank you for that. I don't see any evidence, and I paid pretty close attention to this question, whether or not fraudulent ballots have been filled out. Even the FDLE, which is the state of Florida version of the FBI, has looked into it, and they haven't found any evidence. And when Governor Scott was asked for evidence, he wasn't able to provide any. When Pam Bondi was asked for evidence, she was not able to provide any. So I don't think that it's accurate to say that the supervisor of elections had people filling out fraudulent ballots. I think that's another. There's a whole group out there, I think, that believes in fake stories, and you can find those kind of fake stories on InfoWars and other kind of crazy websites. And I'm sure this emailer is just one of those people that mainlines crazy websites. There's a lot of gullible people out there, and I'm sure that emailer is one. But thank you, emailer from 352. John and Lute says Jim Acosta should go out to his car, change his shirt, put on a hat, and then go back in the White House to report again, writes John. Very funny. I like that. Bill in St. Pete writes, in the midst of the unhappy news, there is the revelation that the NRA is having financial trouble and is run by a failed businessman. That's Bill in St. Pete. I have not seen that story. Bill, thanks for the heads up. I'll look for the story. I don't know if it's true. I know that the NRA always has trouble when there's a Republican in the White House, because they help the Republican get elected. When a Democrat's in the White House, they never give money to Democrats, so they can always claim that the Democrat's going to come and steal your guns. So we saw this during the Clinton administration. We saw this during the Obama administration. Gun sales went up. President Obama never stole anybody's guns or confiscated anybody's guns, and then gun sales get depressed as the NRA goes back in its closet. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Steele, who's in the at the university. Steele, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hi, Steele.
There's some scuttlebutt from the recount that Janet Cruz won in Hillsborough County.
Okay. I mean, last I heard, she was 376 votes ahead of Dana Young. Are you an election observer?
I was.
Okay, and where did you get the information that you're sharing with us?
From the observation.
Okay, so you were watching the recount.
Yep, I heard them announce totals at the end.
All right,
17 more votes for Janet Cruz and 11 votes for Dana Young.
All right, so you were at the elections facility there in Eastern on Falkenberg Road and saw that?
Yep.
All right, Steele, thanks. Thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Hi, Kevin. You're on WMNF 88.5 FM.
Hey, Rob. I just got a couple of quick things today, and I'm going to have to ask you to help me with one of them. But do you remember when the senior Bush 1 was running for his reelection and he was quoted as saying he didn't know what a scanner in a grocery store was?
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah.
I also think he did know the price of milk.
Okay. But my point was back then when that came out, it kind of made a lot of people realize that, wow, these people are really elite. You know, they don't even go to the grocery store like we do. And my point is that with Trump and his serial IDs and making a comment like that, I just don't understand why that doesn't have more clout and making people realize just, you know, how much of a elite this guy is instead of being the guy that's there that's going to help all the working class people.
Yeah, but, you know, that was a question I asked yesterday, and we did get a call from a guy who said that the U.S. is now more respected than ever. He was a Trump supporter. But I keep wondering, when are those factories going to come back from China? When are those factories going to come back from Mexico? And when you talk about the Foxconn deal, the deal to build Apple products here in the U.S. right outside of Milwaukee, that deal is going to cost taxpayers of Wisconsin $4 billion. So if you know, I think President Trump is pretty high on that Foxconn deal, but that didn't come cheaply. $4 billion in a state like Wisconsin, a Rust Belt state like Wisconsin. It's not easy to come up with $4 billion. Even coming up with $4 billion here in the state of Florida would be tough.
Well, of course we didn't need $4 billion when, you know, it was offered to us for transportation, thanks to Mr. Scott. But you know, one thing about the whole theory that is, you know, the Trump economy and Lawrence Kudlow and all this supply side economic theory, it's basically trickle down economic theory. And, you know, at this point, it does look like, I don't know how to put it, maybe late stage capitalism, because of the things like you just said, having to spend $4 billion to get a company to move there and then bragging about how great it was. I mean, it doesn't seem like the people are driving the decisions that are being made by the people that we've elected. It seems like there's some other force somewhere. And I'm going to leave you with one more thing. I saw that the NFL was donating $35 million to study brain injuries, and I thought, wow, that's really good. That's also about as much money as Roger Goodell makes in 9 months of the year. So it doesn't really impress me when a multi-billion-dollar corporation that's, you know, helping people, trying to say they're helping people, when it's really just a spit in the bucket compared with how much money they make, you know?
Yeah. All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. Yeah, you know, I think the central question is, I think there's a lot of honest people that believe that President Trump would bring jobs back to America and that they would be good jobs. But I think the telling number to me is that American workers have lost ground to inflation since President Trump came into office. Now, you can't blame the first year, I think, of that on President Trump. I think anything that happened in the economy in the first year of President Trump was not his fault, and it had to do with the previous administration. But now that we're in the second year of his administration and the tax cuts have gone through, we're beginning to see play out his economic policies. We're not seeing wages go up for workers. We're not seeing private health insurance companies reduce their premium requirement on you and me. So we're not seeing the kinds of things he promised. He promised to provide a better health care plan than President Obama provided, and in which everybody would be covered and that costs would be lower. Well, that didn't happen. He promised to provide a middle-class tax cut. He did provide a tax cut for the super wealthy, but if you look at your paycheck and my paycheck has not really improved with that Trump tax cut. So if you're making under $100,000 a year, if you're making under $50,000 a year, if you're making under $25,000 a year, you're pretty much out of luck with the negligible tax cut that you got. So I do wonder what Kevin wonders, and that is, honest, hardworking people who did vote for President Trump, when do they get theirs? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Frank in Sarasota. Hey, Frank, you're on WMNF.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Yesterday after your show, I went over to hear Rush Limbaugh for a few minutes, and before the midpoint thing started. And he said, about everybody going out to their cars, change hats and shirts and everything like that. He said, well, who hasn't seen that? That happens all the time. That's the first words out of his mouth on his show. So, and then one more thing. When the whole, you got to have a ID to buy groceries came out a few months ago, I went over to my local Publix there, and I went to the guy who was a Trump supporter, so I was going to give him a lot of razzmatazz or a little razzmatazz. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot my ID. Can I still have some groceries? Well, I'll let you slide just once. I said, but you got to have ID. Trump might get on you for this. He says, well, you don't have to have an ID to vote. And I said, well, certainly you do. I have to have a show my Florida driver's license when I go to vote and all that. He said, well, you don't in California. And I said, I voted in California. You have to have an ID there, too. He said, nope, illegals are voting. And I said, well, how do you know that? He said, because Donald Trump said so. And that was the end of the conversation. And now I try and avoid that guy because, there's no teaching anything.
All right. Well, that's a great story. I guess there are a bunch of people who are just hypnotized and and believe anything he says.
And they yak about it, in the mornings there at the Publix of all things.
You know, if there was, and Frank, if there was illegal voting in numbers, and these folks claim that there are billions of people who have voted illegally.
Oh, yeah.
If there were those numbers, the U.S. attorney and the district attorney and the state attorney would all be finding this stuff out, and it's easy to prosecute. It's a crime to do that, and there would be millions of prosecutions across the country because you don't. I mean, even if you think that district attorney or U.S. attorney is pro Democrat, there are Republicans who are U.S. attorneys. There are Republicans who are in the state attorney's office. And so they're going to go after people that do that. That would be a bang up. They would be a hero to Rush Limbaugh if they could prove that. But nobody's done that. It doesn't happen all over the country. And you can't say these folks are asleep at the switch. People see stuff. They turn people in for crimes and all that. But it hasn't happened.
Yeah. So, I think it's a year in jail and a $5,000 fine. So, I'm sure people are just lining up to get that year in jail.
Exactly.
Pay $5,000,
Yeah, for two votes, yeah.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Frank, thanks. Great to hear from you. Good to talk to you. Mike writes this. He says, as for an ID for cereal, wouldn't you need an ID for any grocery if you were using a check? Well, how many people use checks these days? Not that many. I grocery shop a lot. I like to do that. I don't see anybody using a check. Or is it simple to put two and two together? And for Avenatti, where are the Me Too movement and the Believe the Accuser advocates on these charges? Not hearing any support from this station standing behind the accuser in this case. Mike, thanks a lot for your email. We don't know who the accuser is. And I'm not taking sides. I want to see what the facts are. But I did want to put out what Avenatti said. Now he's gone out on a limb. And if he can't back it up, then he will forever, I think, be disgraced. But if he can back it up, and there is a conservative private intelligence agency that's out to get him, I think that's a big story, too. So let's see where it goes. We're not taking sides here. We are just putting out information. You make up your own mind. Mike, you've made up your mind. That's great. And our listeners, the rest of our listeners, are going to make up their mind, too. Mike writes this. He says, the president is a strong argument for immigration. His grandparents were not American citizens. Our president is only a second-generation U.S. citizen, and he rose to the presidency. So his distaste for immigrants is nonsensical, writes Mike in Bradenton. And let's go to Mark in Cortez. Mark, you're on MNF. Take it away.
Hi, Rob.
Hey.
Yeah, hi, Rob. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wondered if you had heard anything. I was watching Rachel Maddow last night, and they brought up a story that I think was in the New York Times about a Turkish dissident that is in Kentucky or Kentucky, and there was some kind of plot from Trump's White House to have him removed from this country.
He's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it all goes back to the Saudi murder thing. And basically, that's why I think you're right to keep an open mind on the Avenatti thing, and all of us should, because at this point, and I agree with a lot of the callers, there's so much craziness going on, and so many things that we just could never have imagined 2 years ago that were even possible in our political society or a system that anything at this point seems to be possible. And I just, you know, a week ago, the only thing you heard on the news from President Trump was the caravan, the caravan. He hasn't mentioned it since the midterm elections. The guy will say anything that he needs to say to get people that, I don't know, you mentioned the word hypnosis. I think that's a good word for it, because they're either hypnotized or they're just delusional. There's no evidence to back up any of the things that they say, yet you can't have a logical conversation with anybody about this stuff. I'm just very frustrated, and I enjoy the program. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. And we're going to take some more phone calls. Fran's in Largo. Fran, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Rob. Yes, what people were just talking about, people hypnotized by this. My partner for years, and this was before Trump, was under the spell of the NRA and gun rights, and so always voted Republican, twice voted for Rick Scott, despite the protests of mine, registered Republican, got all this crazy stuff in the mail about what a rat Michael Moore was and Nancy Pelosi and, you know, all this crazy, crazy stuff constantly in the mail, and asking for contributions, too, from the Republican Party. Now, it took a health problem, a loss of a job, a bankruptcy, and a repossession of a car to get him to see the light.
So what's he think now?
He is a registered Democrat, cannot stand Trump or any of these people, and he listens to MNF because I have it on in the morning a lot of times, and he hears and he sees what lies that they, you know, they tell and everything. So unfortunately, I mean, it hasn't been good for us at all, but this is how people learn sometimes. They're under a spell, they're hypnotized by... I think it's a lot of white men, too. Not all white men, but a lot of white men. It's got to do with their masculinity. But it really takes like a hit in the head, like a health problem and a bankruptcy and things like that, to really, really see what your best interests really, really are. And I mean, what will it take? Another great depression or something horrible like that to happen to us? I don't know. I just don't know. But one thing I wanted to ask, Rob, and I'll get off. I heard it said that there's such a thing, if the people get disgusted enough with this stuff, and I know these elections, especially where Rick Scott is concerned, I don't trust him as far as I could throw him. But if people get disgusted enough, they can go on a general strike. Now, can you explain to me what that means? Thank you.
Sure. All right. All right. Fran, thanks a lot. That is pretty common these days in places like France, where they have a strong labor consciousness. The U.S., its labor movement really began to take off in the 1880s and maybe peaked in the 1950s or 60s. Ours was not a radical labor movement like they have in France. But a general strike is the idea that if for a day you just show how important all workers are, you know, whether or not you're the school teacher or the plumber or the carpenter or the taxi driver, the Uber driver, you're the guy that works picking up baggage at the airport, or you're the woman that cleans the hotel room, or you're the wait staff at the restaurant, that everybody sees that they have a common interest. And they say, let's say you don't like something that's going on. Maybe you don't like our healthcare system. And you say you're going to have a one-day strike. Everybody kind of puts the word out to everybody else, look, we're going to go on strike for one day. We're going to shut down the machine. We have this in common. We're all being oppressed by the high cost of health insurance in this country. And you go on a general strike as a way to protest. And then the country wakes up for a little bit, sees how important all workers are, sees that there's worker solidarity, and the politicians begin to fall in line and say, okay, we're going to do something to make sure this doesn't happen again. That's what the idea of a general strike is. France does it sometimes. There have been a lot of general strikes in Europe, in places like Italy. But we have not, I don't think we've had many general strikes. There have been calls for general strikes, but I don't think there's really been a successful one-day general strike in the U.S. Students used to go on strike in the 1960s and 70s over the issues of war and peace and the Vietnam War. But I don't think that we have a heightened labor consciousness here in the U.S. It may work, but anyway, that's the idea. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Deanna in Seminole. Deanna, you're on M&F. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, Rob, it's always a delight whenever I get to get through. I've started only reposted on my Facebook page a direct quote from him, and I call it the rabbit hole and how big it is and how far are you going to follow him down. I don't post anything else because, as we have all been discussing, they just do not listen. It never ceases to amaze me how they just listen and fall right in line to his Mr. Trump's life. And the employment, everybody's making such a big deal how the employment is down. Well, the reason the employment is down is because everybody has to have, I have two jobs and am looking and am going to be working for the census, which will be my third job. So the reason that there is not any jobs available is everybody has to work two jobs to finance their living. Insurance costs. Our insurance went up. My husband works for a major United States company, which is in trouble, but we still are getting insurance, and our insurance is over two of his paychecks. So it's like $1,200 a month.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And it went up $80, and we were looking at, and he was trying to decide on how we could cut back, and it would only be like $20, maybe $30 a month, and that would be to take off our life insurance, which if something happened to me, if something happened to him, I would be homeless. Because of
our insurance plan here at the station, I'm glad I've got an insurance plan, but I think our deductible is now $3,000 or $4,000 before they begin to pay anything. And I'm sure that's probably true for most people, that the deductible for you at your work or anybody else's work these days is $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Well, exactly. That means that you've got to pay $3,000 out of your pocket before you even begin to get help from your insurance company. So why do we pay so much for health insurance? You know, and I can't help but think that those super high salaries, the huge profits that insurance companies make on us, that's where all the money is going. If you took the profit out and if you took out the high salaries, insurance rates would come back down to earth. But they're way up there because we had Wendell Potter on many times here, former health insurance executive, who said that he was on a private airplane owned by his health insurance company, and they had gold-plated silverware in the private airplane. That's how extravagant insurance companies are.
Well, I know that I had heard President Carter speak, which we know that he was a lame duck president as they made Obama. And he said that he had tried to implement single-payer health care in 72, which after his election in 76. And, of course, it didn't even come out of committee. It hardly came out of his mouth. But in the event, and his plan, which if we could research and figure out what it was, he said it would all be self-sustaining by this time and that we would all be insured. And as you said, my deductible is like $3,000, even though so we pay over $14,000 a year for insurance and still have a $3,000 deductible.
Deanna, people never ask the question, what does private health insurance add to our health? How does having an insurance company separate me from my money and be the guard dog telling me which doctors and hospitals I can go to? How does that improve my health, and how does that make us healthier? People never ask, why is private health insurance involved at all? There's no reason to have private health insurance in a developed nation that acts as just a skimmer off the top of profit. That's all it does. It doesn't add to your health. It doesn't add to my health. And people never ask that question. And you've got all these people in Tallahassee and Washington defending the system, and it's wrong.
Exactly. So if whichever one they chose, Medicaid or Medicare, whichever one they chose, I cannot imagine us personally being taxed more than $1,000 or $1,200 a month.
Yeah, Deanna, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. It's a good point. You know, the numbers on this, and the numbers are really clear. The U.S. Has a private health insurance system in which about, you know, 80 or 85% of the public is covered by private or maybe by Medicare and Medicaid. Some of Medicare and Medicaid is privatized too. We pay per capita about $8,000 or $9,000 a year. And this is a Johns Hopkins study that goes back a few years. Canada, where everybody's covered, 100% of Canadians are covered, they have no deductibles. They pay per capita for everything in healthcare, $4,000 a year. They pay half of what we pay, and they get more coverage. And people should look up that number from Johns Hopkins University, because I've done several shows about it, interviews with the folks that did that study years ago. Amin writes this, just like Carlos said yesterday, Trump supporters are a lost cause. And if the Trump regime wants to arm everyone, that will include the journalists at the White House, writes Amin. No, I don't think they want journalists armed. I don't think that's a good idea. Bill in St. Pete writes this. There's a Rolling Stone article headlined, NRA says it's in financial trouble, may be unable to exist. So I've not seen that Rolling Stone article. I will look it up. Thank you, Bill. Chip in Tampa says, since Trump is such a publicity hound and a chronic liar, why doesn't mainstream media boycott him until he stops lying? Being ignored by the media would drive him nuts, writes Chris in Tampa. And Brett writes this, hey, Smarty Pants, this is 2018. It's not 1930s. Remember 9/11, how we put the illegals in all Democrats' backyards and they can foot the bill and you can babysit them. Also, you're living your dream. Really, is you're just bashing Trump, who is trying. All right, Brett, thanks a lot. I read your email. Thanks for sending the email. I'm not sure that email made any sense, but thank you for sending it. And we're going to go back to the phone, so we're going to try to talk to some people who do make sense. Let's go to Robert in Tampa. Hey, Robert, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi. I apologize. I missed part of the show. I might be repeating something, but I have to say Trump isn't totally wrong about the cereal and the ID, because there are certain unsweetened cereals that if you buy them, you get a free voter ID inside. I'm not at liberty to say which ones they are.
Just keep buying them.
For the old people, you know, like the magic Dakota ring, you get a
yeah. Just buy a lot of cereal. Okay.
Buy a lot of cereal. You keep going back in line, and have your voter ID card provided for you.
Okay, Robert. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. That was great. Let's go to Mike in Clearwater. Hey, Mike, you're on.
Hey, Rob.
Mike, you're on WMNF. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. I just left the Supervisor of Elections office in Pinellas County and began my day there as an observer.
And so what did you see?
Well, I was impressed with the system in place. You know, I feel really confident that we have a good system in place. I think that our biggest problem, or one of many, is the tight deadlines that exist, because I could easily see how many counties could miss the opportunity to meet that deadline if they don't have it together. So that was a general observation, because it takes a while to get the day rolling, you know, and then I can see where any number of counties that don't have it together, like down in South Florida, could miss another deadline, and then these votes won't get counted. So, you know, my feeling is we need to have a more relaxed structure to get all the votes counted. So that was one thing. And then, so I trust the system, and what I don't trust is how we're moving forward into 2020. I think that all of us progressives need to act now, because I'd never guessed in my wildest dreams that this Senate race would have been so close. I thought Nelson had it, And it honestly gets me worried about what we're going to face in 2 years. So we need to wake up.
All right, Mike. Already. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for that eyewitness report. Bill writes this. He says, let's have some balance. In 1880, our population was 50 million people. Now we have a population of 327 million people. Things have changed, and the 1880s policy wouldn't work today, writes Bill. He goes on to say the inscription on the Statue of Liberty is just a goofy poem. All right, Bill. You know, I think there are whole segments of society where we have a dearth of workers. One of those segments is in the agriculture sector. And I think if you look around, too, you'll find that in the medical sector and some of the computer sectors, too, there are a dearth of workers. But we can continue this conversation next week. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the latest news from NPR. Thanks to Frank Knox, our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. And right after the news, we're going to hear the Tom Hartman Show.